You're listening to the Self-Made is a Myth, Make a Difference Together show with your host, Coach Tim Campsall, where we talk with successful business owners to hear the stories of their journeys in building their successful businesses. And more importantly, we recognize the folks who help them excel because we know that achieving business success is not something we can do on our own.
Hello, everyone. This is Coach Tim Campsall, and I'm excited to have a fellow business owner from Indiana with us today. My guest is a commercial diver and has been practicing martial arts since he was 14. In his downtime, he enjoys following developments in the renewable energy space, and the thing he's most proud of is that he's failed a lot. And I love that. It's the first time we've had somebody share that. But really what that means is that he's persistent and, you know, doesn't give up when adversity gets in the way. So it is my pleasure to welcome Rajiv to the show today. Hello, Rajiv.
Hi, how you doing, Tim? Good to see you.
Awesome, thanks for asking. Well, hey, let's start with introducing yourself. Tell us your full name and a little bit of your personal story, like where you were born and live and about your family.
Yeah, absolutely. My family is originally from India. I was born in India, in New Delhi. I grew up there for the first 12 years of my life. My father was an architect and in the military engineering services for the Indian government. And so he moved around about every 3 years. And so consequently, we ended up living in multiple locations in India. And in the mid-70s, my mom and he were sponsored by my uncle who lived in Canada. And in 76, we moved to Canada. And that's where I went to school in junior high school and high school, Nelson A. Boylan, up near Lawrence and Keele area. If anybody knows that, I don't know how many people know that. It's a fairly small school. I ended up going to University of Waterloo for my undergrad in engineering. I became a civil engineer while I was in Canada. I graduated in 91, but unfortunately due to economic recessions going on, we were still coming out of it, so positions were not quite available. So I ended up moving to Connecticut for a position that I got through a family friend who had just started a business as an engineering company there. I had some experience in bridge inspection while I was doing co-op work while I was doing my undergrad. So I had some experience that I could apply. And so I ended up in Connecticut in January of 94, actually drove there during a storm. Then in 97, I moved to Utah and took a position with a company called Parsons, or Parsons Transportation Group now, or I think actually they're back to Parsons now. So they kind of switched back and forth. Actually, it was Delew Cather, which was a company they had acquired, but it was part of the Parsons Transportation Group. And then, yeah, eventually just ended up being Parsons. Anyways, it was with Parsons in Utah. And then when the position, when the work was ending, we were doing a major transportation renewal, basically due to the Olympics occurring in 2000. It was a big design build project that needed a lot of engineering. They were working on 230 some odd structures or something like that. And so I took the opportunity to get into a larger firm and bigger projects from where I was, which has served me fairly well working there. And while at Parsons, I ended up working in Colorado on the E-470 project. And I think there was another job that I worked on for Parsons there. And then in Missouri, I worked on the Metrolink project. And then in Detroit, I worked on several projects, including a project in, where is it? It's God, I'm not going to remember now where. But anyways, it was a Beltline Grand Rapids area. Fairly large project, $350 million construction or something along that line. I ended up designing like 14 structures on that project. Eventually, in 2000, actually, I met my wife. She lived in Toledo. We got married in 2003, and I decided to move to Toledo. Parsons was a little far in Detroit from traveling, so yeah. Got a position with a firm called SSOE, which was starting a transportation group. And unfortunately, they closed it down in 3 years, and then I ended up working for the city of Toledo, who was looking to replace one of their engineers who had moved on to another position. So I ended up working for Streets, Bridges, and Harbor for about 6 years. And then while I was with SSOE, I was actually looking at becoming a partner there and considering that. So I kept considering that while I was in Toledo, city of Toledo, and things weren't going anywhere, so I just put out feelers to go ahead and, try to, develop that ambition a little bit more. And so I ended up getting interviewed for several positions, and one of the positions was with Stephen J. Christian and Associates. They were looking for a partner to replace a partner that had just left about a year, I think, or 10 months or something ago. In 2011. And so I accepted the position there in March of 2012 and didn't accept the position of a president or a partnership right away. I waited. I think we needed to wait, just learn something about the company. I needed to learn about more about the company. So I did not take it right away. They wanted me to take over in 2012, at the end of 2012, and I'm like, no, that's too soon. Yeah. So anyways, in 2013, we changed the name from Stephen J. Christian and Associates to SJCAPC because of the, the number of partners, and we did have two other partners join us also. Accepted the position in 2014 for newly rebranded firm SJCAPC.
Awesome.
And I also became a diver. Joined one of the things that Stephen J. Christian and Associates did at that time was that they did diving inspection for the bridges. Hmm. And I was not a diver, so I had to learn to scuba dive and eventually set up a commercial diver program where we could learn how to be commercial divers and be able to continue to do the work with the state in Indiana due to federal highway requirements and OSHA requirements. Yeah. Anyways, so we took that program, we built it inside, and we actually are now a company that can train its own commercial divers.
Fantastic. So Rajiv, at what point did you have the confidence that you could run your own business?
I wanted to do that for a very long time. I'm not sure I would say that I developed the confidence. I think that's work in progress.
Hmm. Yeah.
I still have times when I don't know what the hell to do.
Fair.
And I need help, frankly. I mean, I don't think I could do it without my partners. I mean, we have discussions all the time. Well, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? Yeah. Things change. I mean, it's so dynamic. I think when you're an employee, you don't always understand what the company has to do to, keep the business running, keep the employees employed, keep everybody satisfied. There's a lot of dynamic interactions occurring.
Yeah.
And you're trying to balance a lot of things. And you can't do it alone. Yeah. You just can't.
I appreciate the candor and right and the vulnerability of sharing that, right? There's stuff that comes up all the time that we haven't faced before, so we don't know how to deal with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I employ a business consultant. We have the three partners. We got multiple lawyers continuously helping us out on things. It's, you know, we have the HR specialists. We have, you know, contracts. You know, is constantly the we work with a lot of our prime consultants who are always putting stipulations in, and NDOT's always putting stipulations in, ODOT. And it's like we're trying to protect ourselves from all different angles and continue to work. It's a very dynamic environment. It is not a simple thing.
Rajiv, tell us a little bit more about the company. So say the name again, and what do you guys do? How do you help people?
Okay, so the company started out as Stephen J. Christian and Associates, and I think I mentioned that. Stephen, he started the company in 98. He incorporated or became a professional corporation in February of 99, and has operated under that conditions. And then Shirley George became a partner in 2006 or something like that. Yeah, 2006, along with another partner who is no longer with the company. The company started out as a bridge inspection, bridge design, primarily a bridge-focused company. Stephen was there from background was in bridge design, and that's what he did. He specialized in that. He was also a professional surveyor. There was a time when you could get dual licensing as a surveyor, and you still can, but it takes there's a lot more work involved with it now than it used to be. But the company was primarily bridge design, bridge inspection, and added the survey component in 2011. When they purchased a company called Beacon Surveying. And one of our current partners, Greg Quivey, came from there. From 2011 to 2014, when I took over, you know, we continued to work as a Stephen J. Christian and Associates. And then in late 2013, we changed the name to SJC APC. You know, reflecting more of the change in the, because, you know, it wasn't just Stephen J. Christian anymore. Sure. So it was, you know, so we had to adjust for that. And everybody pretty much always contracted it down to SJCA anyway. So it was like, what the hell are we fighting it for? So we just made that. And then in 2014, when I joined, we continue to operate mostly as a engineering structural company, and then we started looking at adding other services like roadway design and civil site design as part of the services we offer, because we wanted to make it more rounded firm, more full service, and so we started looking at other sectors that we could naturally add to the firm. One of them was site design. That's where Ben Dykeman came in. He was used to working with, he came from the site design side of things. And he worked with architects and so on. Although that business has kind of declined because our NDOT business blew up so much, or, you know, our consulting business for design of structures and roadways became so much that, you know, kind of like site kind of slowly fell off. We've also added hydraulics. We do hydraulic analysis and things like that, which is part of kind of a natural development in the system from the fact that, hey, a lot of bridges are over water, so we kind of need to know the hydraulics and things. So. And in the meantime, the growth of the bridge inspection has continued, and and so has the growth of the underwater inspection program that we do. In 2020, we actually had started talking to an environmental firm in 2019, and we finished the acquisition in September of 2021. Sorry, in 2020, we finished it, middle of COVID.
Yeah.
So we acquired a firm called Green 3, environmental firm, and also historians and archaeologists. So we also do a lot of the permitting for the transportation projects.
Okay.
We continue to be primarily a transportation company, just multi-pronged. We have the roadway, we have the environmental, we have the cultural resources, our historians, and so forth. We have the survey, we added construction inspection. We used to do that a lot before. It had shrunk, but now it's just kind of ballooned up again.
Yeah.
So these have been progressively getting bigger and bigger.
Fantastic. Rajiv, yeah, what's been your biggest learning as a business owner?
The biggest learning is don't close yourself off to ideas from other people. You don't know where your next growth is going to come from. So don't pigeonhole yourself, essentially. The one thing I kind of failed to mention is that actually one of the things I did do when I was an undergrad was take management sciences.
Okay.
And then while I was, that was a minor that I took with it, as well as environmental. Actually, I ended up with a major in, I had the structural, the environmental, and the management sciences while I was doing undergrad. It actually took me a little longer to graduate because of that, but I ended up with a lot more. And it actually has come very useful, surprisingly. Part of the reason was also we were going in a recession, and I'm like, it's a recession, I might as well take a few more courses.
Yeah, right.
And then I did my master's while I was in Toledo, and again, I did structural emphasis, but then I also took business courses also. Mm-hmm. And I actually finished the master's while I was in 2014 while I was actually here in Indiana.
Okay.
So actually started there, but actually finished here. So as far as learning, don't stop. Just
yeah, I love it. What a great perspective. Hey, we know that business success doesn't happen in isolation. So tell us one of the biggest challenges that you had in terms of this business, and maybe, you know, a fellow business owner or a colleague who, you know, came alongside you and helped you through that.
Well, I think they all have contributed. I would not say that all our partners have contributed. Mm-hmm. And Stephen, when he was with us, he was with us till 2017. So that's when he retired. And he and I used to talk, you know, it's like, what do we want to see, you know, where are we going? What are we, you know, what are we, you know?
Yeah.
And so one of the conversations we had is like, we're primarily an engineering firm that's in business, you know. Our focus is engineering. We, you know, and we want to make sure that we do a good job. The business will come, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Over time, I have found that the business needs to be brought up a little bit more. A little bit more. As we get bigger, it needs to be brought up more.
Right.
As we get bigger, it needs to be brought up more. And you need to start specializing. So that was, you know, I think that was kind of self-realized a little bit. I think when Steven left, we weren't quite as big. We were still fairly small. We were like about 30 people, 34 people or something like that. To give you a perspective, when I started, we were closer to 20. We're almost at 100 right now.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So we were one office in Indianapolis. Now we have offices in Evansville. We have an office in Washington. We have an office in we have two offices in Indianapolis. We have an office up in South Bend, and we also have an office in Columbus, Ohio. And we are looking at adding offices in other places at this point, because the business has grown to where the customers are kind of like, hey, if you had an office here, we can, give you more work. My current challenge is staffing. I
Sure.
cannot find, I mean, I think that's throughout our profession and industry and throughout the entire country for anything.
Yes, it's been a big challenge for the last 3 or 4 years. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I answer your question? I'm not sure I
Yes,
did.
absolutely you did.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Rajiv, if I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. If I asked you to pick three people in your business owner journey that you're most grateful for them being there to help with the business's growth, who are those three people and how they help you?
Well, I would say Shirley, definitely. Who's my partner? I mean, I think without her making the decision to say, "Hey, I need somebody else to help," and then and having Ben and Greg, I kind of one of the reasons I wanted them was they don't always see eye to eye to me, and just I. One of the things I kind of was watching what was going on in a lot of the businesses before I accepted the position was that if you don't have people who see differently, you're not going to be able to grow and capture things that you need people to be different than you. You cannot have yes men in your
Absolutely.
business. It doesn't always create a comfortable situation, but I'm grateful they're there because they can actually reel me in when I'm going off the off tangent or something, So I'm willing to fly and take risks, and they're a little more risk averse, and they're kind of like, hey, hang on a second, let's take a look at this a little bit more. So yeah, I'm very grateful for them. Not always happy about it.
Well, I love the fact that you had that awareness of the one of the things that we do when we're coaching owners and leadership team is acknowledging exactly what you said is, hey, in order for the team to be awesome, right, we need people with different thoughts and perspectives. And we use the DISC assessment as a way to help understand that. And so, yeah, if we're all the same type of person, we're going to view the world the exact same way, and we're going to make the same types of, we're going to process the information the same, we're going to make the same decision, but it doesn't mean it's the right decision. So if we have our opposite to our yin and yang idea, right, of, oh, can now we get a full, better understanding of a situation and we can make a better decision.
Yeah, and actually having four, I kind of think of it as a compass. We don't always, you need sometimes, like for me, I have a lot of authority, right? So sometimes you need enough mass behind the other groups to kind of the other side to kind of say, hey, hold on a second, this is not right, and you're going to take us off the cliff. We don't, you kind of need that. I'm not always happy about it, like I mentioned before. I do appreciate it that they've pulled me back sometimes,
And on the other side, the more conservative type people, they need somebody that has that more inspirational and optimistic view of, well, we're going to figure this out, and let's just take a couple steps forward. So it's a good balance.
And you got to be also be able to willing to say, okay, let's take a couple of steps back and take a look at it. You need that. And we did hire a business consultant to help us manage. When we started hitting about 50 people, I started feeling overwhelmed, and I looked around, and we got somebody. That one didn't turn out to be too good, but then Greg found someone that was able to help us out, and I would say John, that's his name, John Franks, has been great in trying to get us focused, and deal with some of the business aspects of things that we don't necessarily have the background for. We're engineers. We weren't prepared. I mean, even though I had some experience and Greg Quibi had, he was a partner with a firm that we acquired. But, you know, they were small. They were still operating mostly as, it's mostly cash direct. It's not, it's not the same as what we do. So, we're a lot more measured, we're a lot more planned. Unfortunately, we're also a lot more administrative. I mean, it's a necessity. Because, the Department of Labor, you got to deal with that. You got to deal with reporting requirements. You got to deal with HIPAA. You got to deal with all kinds of things. And unfortunately, you're forced to become more corporate,
What you said earlier is, I think it's important for everyone to internalize is, the school system doesn't teach us how to be business owners, right? It teaches us how to be, an expert in our art or our craft or our trade, right? And when we're running a business, it's a whole different learning curve. And oftentimes we can feel like we're drinking from the fire hose, just trying to figure it out. So, going through some type of, re-education of how to be a great business owner is important to be able to be successful as a business owner. So I'm glad you've been going through that.
I'm not sure I'm a great business owner. I'm just trying to work through it.
So Rajiv, as you think about the next 1 to 3 years, what's the number one priority or challenge that you see in order to achieve your goals?
So the one thing is that we're trying to make sure that everybody has the same direction, same values. Again, like I said, because we've had some growth, fairly significant growth, the culture of the company didn't quite keep up with it.
Sure.
The level of training, trying to get everybody to same understanding, safe delivery methodology. We have QA, QC procedures, but trying to get everybody to work together and go in the same direction. So we developed a leadership group within the company. We developed a cultural survey that we did. We reworked the mission and the vision. So we're looking at, we're looking at implementing all that over the year, that going forward from 24 to 25.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's wonderful. So last question, Jim Rohn says that we become the average of the 5 people that we spend the most time with. So as you think about that quote, what advice would you have for business owners who are trying to do it all on their own?
Don't. So one of the things I do try to do is, with people who have similar, who are currently business owners, who started their own business, who are working on their own. I try to even go back to AI Engineers, which is the company I worked for in Connecticut, who, when I started out was 3 people and now like 350 people in multiple states. And Abul Islam is the owner. And I try to reach out to him, get his ideas on it. But I have other people locally closer, which I talk to, that can give me some direction sometimes. That sometimes they own a little bit bigger company, sometimes they own some somewhat smaller company. But I also am in the local American Council of Engineering Companies. I'm a member of that. So I've been on various committees for that organization, and I've made some contacts where I try to meet with them as regularly as possible. Mm-hmm. I do have to still run the company. I try to get together with them as often as I can, so I can, sometimes pick their brain, sometimes they ask me questions, just try to learn from each other. So the advice I would say is, and it doesn't have to be peers or even in the same group. It can be just some people who have started businesses on their own, and you know, learn from their experience. Several of my cousins in India have businesses, and then you know, I talk to them too, and kind of learn how their experience has been, and how they deal with certain things. And actually, one of my cousins actually has a leadership coaching consulting business.
Oh, fantastic!
So, along with his wife, actually started it. He actually joined the company.
Okay.
And became a coach himself. He used to work for Airtel. He was a vice president, and so he kind of was doing this anyway. So he's like, "What the hell?" So, anyways, so yeah, I mean, I talked to a lot of people. You can't cut yourself off. Mind you, some days I come home and all I want to do is sit in front of the YouTube and find out what the hell is going on in the EV world.
Rajiv, it sounds like you've had some, you know, some pretty incredible people in your journey that have helped you along the way. If they were all on the show today, what would you want to say to them?
So thank you for being there, and I appreciate it. I did fail to mention one thing. I could not have done this without my wife's support in all the various adventures I've gone on. You know, I could not have done it, you know. So I do want to say thank you, Jill. I appreciate you.
Fantastic. Well, Rajiv, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You bet. All right. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening to the Self-Made is a Myth show. Please help spread this movement by liking and subscribing to our show and following us on Facebook and LinkedIn. To join our movement, go to bemadtogether.com. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Please pay it forward and be sure to tune in next time to the Self-Made is a Myth podcast.